Blog Talk Radio.
But we are moving forward. We are moving forward in our word, and I thank God for waking me up this morning. Literally waking me up this morning. Thank you so much for being patient with me as we move forward in the word. And our word from this morning is coming out of Psalms. And God, I will praise his word. And God, I have put my trust. And I thank God this morning for his grace and his mercy toward me. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, God, for being such a good and mighty God. And I put my trust in you this morning. I put my hope in you this morning. I put my absolute in you this morning. And every morning, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Hallelujah, and thanking God. So let's get started in our word today. We are moving forward this morning, but I have some background music going, so let me get that off, and we are going to start in our word today. And again, thank you so very much for joining me this morning. Thanking you all, praising God with you this morning. And knowing that we are covered by the blood of Jesus. Father God in heaven, I thank you for waking me up this morning, for giving me a pep in my step and a praise in my heart. For Lord God, there is none like you. Lord, I ask you to increase as I decrease this morning. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. You, Lord God, are my redeemer. You, Lord God, are the air that I breathe and the song that I sing. You, Lord God, are my God. And I love you more than anything. And I thank you this morning for your mighty and holy word. May you add a blessing to it, to the hearers and to the readers. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you so much, family, for coming in, for joining me, for being just who you are, a wonderful and mighty God. Just can't help myself when I say how good God is. Can't help myself. That God has trusted and trusted me with this opportunity. Apologize that we normally start at 7, but we are starting a little later today. But we will be finished probably at 8 o'clock and moving forward today. So let's get started. And we are coming again out of the book of Samuel, Proverbs, and Luke, and Psalms, which is where our title lesson is coming out of today. And it is a great word. As we know, just kind of following up, giving an overview for those that are just joining us. I come out of the Charles Stanley Life Principle Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year, and I'm coming out of the New King James Version this morning. And we have life lessons, life questions, and those are from Dr. Stanley, the life questions, life lessons, and it may be a life example in there. Those come from Dr. Stanley. And so you will hear me say, and the life questions are the life lessons. So they will, he will take a scripture, and then he will enhance it and tell us about it. So probably 5 times, because I will be honest, I've been awake early this morning and kind of fell asleep. But God, that's all I can say is, but God, won't he do it? He will. He will wake you up. He will give you a pep in your step and a praise in your heart. So I thank God this morning. And it says in our word today, now Samuel said to all Israel, indeed, I have heeded your voice. And I'm coming out of 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1 to chapter 13, verse 23. And it says, and all that you said to me and have made a king over you. This is Samuel speaking. And now here is the king walking before you. And I am old and gray-headed. And look, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my childhood to this day. Here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed, whose ox have I taken, or whose donkey have I taken, or whom have I he cheated, whom have I oppressed, or from whose hand have I received any bribe with which to blind my eyes? I will restore it to you. And they said, you have not cheated us or oppressed us, nor have you taken anything from any man's hand. Then he said to them, the Lord is a witness against you, and his anointed is a witness this day that you have not found anything in my hand. And they answered, he is witness. Then Samuel said to the people, it is the Lord who raised up Moses and Aaron and who brought your fathers up from the land of Egypt. Now, therefore, stand still that I may reason with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and your fathers. When Jacob's fathers cried out to the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, commander of the army of Hazor, into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. Then they cried out to the Lord and said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals and the Asherah. And now deliver us from the hand of our enemies, and we will serve you. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal, Bidon, Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hands of your enemies on every side, and you dwelt in safety. And when you saw that Nahash, king of the Ammonites, came against you, you said to me, no, but a king shall reign over us. When the Lord your God was your king, the Lord our God is our king. Now, therefore, here is the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired. And take note, the Lord has set a king over you. If you fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God. However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. Now, therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is today not the wheat harvest? I will call to the Lord, and he will send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking a king for yourself. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God, that we may not die. For we have added to all our sins the evil of asking a king for ourselves. Then Samuel said, because y'all know Samuel did not play. Then Samuel said to the people, do not fear. You have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, and do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things, which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truly with all your heart, but consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. Wow. Wow. Samuel does not play or does he miss words. He is a true prophet that tells it like it is, and like it is what he says. Come on now. Let's keep it moving. Chapter 13. And it says, Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel. 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in the mountains of Bethel, and 1,000 were with him in Geba, and bit of Benjamin. The rest of the people he sent away, every man to his tent. And Jonathan attacked the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. Then Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. Now all Israel heard it, said that Saul had attacked a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel had also become an abomination to the Philistines. And the people were called together to Saul at Gilgal. And the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore is multitude. And they came up and encamped at Michmash to the east of Bethaven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people hid in caves, in thickets, in rocks, in holes, in pits. And some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilgal, Gilead. As for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. When he waited 7 days, according to the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offering here to me, and he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. And Samuel said, what have you done? Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you did not come within the days appointed, that the Philistines gathered together in Michmash, that I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made a supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord, your God, which he commanded you. But now the Lord, which have established a kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Then Samuel arose and went up from Gilgal to Gibeah of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people present with them, about 600 men. Saul, Jonathan, his son, and the people present with them remained in Gibeah of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped in Michmash. The raiders came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned onto the road to Ophrah, to the land of Shul. Another company turned to the road of Beth-Horon, and another company turned to the road of the border that overlooks the valley of Zebiah toward the wilderness. Now there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all the land of Israel. They at least the Hebrews make swords or spears, but all the Israelites would go down to the Philistines to sharpen each man's bowshare, his mattock, his axe, and his sickle. And the charge for sharpening was a pium for the plowshares and the mattocks, the forks, and the axes, and to set the points of the goads. So it came about on the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people who were with Saul and Jonathan, but they were found with Saul and Jonathan, his son, and the garrison of the Philistines went out to the pass of Michmash. Now, we talked about this, I think, probably about 2 days ago, that Saul was going to mess up. And mess up he did in a royal way. No pun intended. But when Samuel told him, I'm coming, and he couldn't wait. He had to do it himself, rash. He talked about being rash on yesterday, you know, that we want to go in haste. Why should I do when I feel the need to act in haste? What should I do? You know, so many times we want to act in haste and not wait on the Lord. We got to wait on God. And in this case, didn't want to wait on God at all. I'm going to do me. I'm going to give this sacrifice. You have no authority, no anointing, not your calling. And because of his rashness, he's going to lose the kingdom. 2 years, he's been going to lose it all because of being rash. When the word says wait on the Lord, that's what we have to do. Wait on the Lord. And a few life lessons from our word this morning. It says in 1 Samuel 12:3, whom have I cheated? Integrity. The consuming desire to acknowledge and obey the Father in conjunction with our readiness to confess and repent of sin, testifies to our private and public behavior. Integrity leaves no ground for accusation. Samuel had integrity. We ask God to give us integrity. He didn't cheat. He didn't lie. He didn't steal. And we can't cheat. We can't lie. We can't steal. We can't do anything against those top 10 commandments. Because God is with us wherever we go, which means God is watching everything that we do. To love the God, love God in spirit and in truth. He is the one and only God. And when I say the God, he is the God of Israel. He is the God of us. He is the God of everything. He created everything. He is the God. There's no other God like our Father God. There's a whole lot of little G's running around, but they have no power. Unless our God gives it to them. Keep moving in some life lessons from the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 12 and 13. It says, do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. How often do we go after empty things that can neither bless nor deliver us? Even if we get these things, we end up with precisely nothing. However, we have a God who loves us, reveals himself to us, and communicates with us. He never forsakes us when we seek him. That's why intimacy with God should always be our highest priority. I have one last, this is a life question. From the book of 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 22. And verse 22 says, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Time and again throughout the Old Testament, we find the Lord reaching out to his people, revealing himself to them, designed to be with them and to communicate with them. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 22, we find this promise of God. The Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. God desires companionship, fellowship, and communion with those who will reciprocate his expressions of friendship. We can count on the close communion of the Lord, even if everyone abandons us. We see this in the life of Jesus. On the way, on the very night he was arrested and put on trial, trial that led to his crucifixion, he said to his disciples, indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. Can you hear the pain, that statement? Can you hear the pain of that statement? Can you hear the pain in that statement? Can you hear the pain of our Savior as he spoke those words? Just knew what it was to be lonely. But then he said, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Jesus knew what it was to be comforted, even in the face of abandonment. When loneliness engulfs us, the first thing we must do is to turn our focus away from what we don't have to what we do have. What do you have, you may ask? God himself. And I say this, his word again has said to us, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. So we have God himself. You can never be alone once you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. He promises that he dwells within you when you have received him into your life and that he is connected to you. Just as a vine and a branch are connected in the same way that sap flows through the vine and its branches, so too the love of Christ flows in you and through you. He abides in you and you abide in him. You are one being with Christ. You share with him the most intimate relationship possible, an eternal spiritual intimacy. And we'll find that when we get to John chapter 15. The depth of that intimacy to a great extent is up to you. It's up to me. We want to have an intimacy with Christ. We want to be in the family. It says, how much do you allow him to fill you up with his presence? How willing are you for him to reveal himself to you? Even so, you can never totally isolate yourself from the Lord. He is always there. Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, life lesson. The Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people. Even before Samuel had anointed David as the next king of Israel, even before Samuel had met the boy, the Lord had commanded David to lead Israel. God has a plan for us long before we see it. And even though David had to wait a long time to become king, he trusted that God always works on behalf of those who wait for him. All things are working for our good. We got to remember that all things work for our good. Why? Because we trust in the Lord. Our word for this morning is coming out of Psalms chapter 51, and it says this. The chief musician said to the silent dove, a distant land, a victim of David, when the Philistines captured him in Gath. Says, be merciful to me, O God, for man will swallow me up. Fighting all day he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever, this is our word from today, highlightable show. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? That's a highlightable. All day, they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide. They mark my steps. When they lie in wait for my life, shall they escape by iniquity and anger cast down the people of God? You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book when I cry out to you? Then my enemies will turn back. Then I know because God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. You have not kept my feet from falling, you, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. And I love the life lesson. It says, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. So Psalmist does not say, if something ever scare me, he says, whenever I am afraid. Fear is a natural human reaction to danger. God does not tell us to ignore our fears, but to bring them to him. We got to trust in the Lord, family. We got to believe that he is with us, that he will not forsake us, that he has our back. And the word says in Proverbs 15, verses 21 to 23, folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment. But a man of understanding walks uprightly. Without counsel, plans go aware. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Luke chapter 22, verse 47 through 71. And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, permit even this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter said among them, and a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another servant said, you are of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. About an hour had passed, a month confidently affirmed, you say, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, not an hour later, not a second later, immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him. And having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is the man who struck you? And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. Soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, if you are the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, if I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Therefore, the Son of Man was set on the right hand of the power of God. Then they all said, are you then the Son of God? So he said to them, you rightly say that I am. And they said, what further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. In the life lessons for Proverbs 15, in Luke chapter 22, verse 61, and Proverbs 15:22, it says, without counsel, plans go away, but in the multitude of counsels, they are established. Since none of us has an unlimited perspective, we need to invite multiple viewpoints outside of our own to inform our most important decisions and plans. God often uses the perspective of others to show us his will. But the issue is we got to ask for help. Some of us, and I include myself in that, have a tendency to go it alone. And that's why God gives you others to turn to, whether it's family, whether it's your church family, your pastor. God gives you someone to talk to. All you have to do is talk to them. 22 verse 61, the Lord turned and looked at Peter, What kind of look was it? A look that said, I told you so? Or that expressed compassion, disappointment, resignation, sorrow? We don't know. We only know that Jesus used it to remind Peter of his prophetic words. And that look caused Peter to weep. And I thank God again. That's the word I have this morning. And I am grateful that the Lord woke me up this morning to start me on my way. I thank God today for this bright new day. For I could be asleep, dead in my bed. But because of the Savior, I'm awake, I'm alive, and I have joy in my heart. This morning, I thank God for waking me up, for giving me a pep in my step and a praise in my heart. I thank God this morning that he chose to give me a do-over. Because somebody did not get it this morning. Somebody did not get the do-over. Somebody did not get a word from the Lord today. Somebody didn't make it. But we did. And all I can say is, thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness. Thank you, Lord, for this new day. Thank you, Lord. And before we get going this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Good morning. God does not treat us according to our sins like we do one another. He treats us based on the love he has for us all. Have a wonderful Wednesday, family. Remember to keep God first and to watch God work in your life. But he is so good. I love God and he loves me. Have a blessed day, family. Keep the Lord first. If there's anyone that has a word from God that would like to speak, please push the number 1 on your phone. The number to dial is 213-943-3597. If you are listening on social media, 213-943-3597 is our dial-in number. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And please join me tomorrow at 7 a.m. as we move forward through our Word of God. And again, we will be in 1 Samuel. We'll be in chapter 14 and 15:35. We will be coming also out of Psalm 57 and Proverbs 15, verses 24 to 25. And we will be in Luke chapter 23. God willing, all will work and your host will be awake. In Jesus' name, I thank you all for listening in. I thank you for keeping me in your prayers. I thank you for just letting the word of God permeate your heart, your mind, and your spirit. But we stand on his word. Not my word, the word of God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father, this morning for waking me up, for starting me on my way, Lord God. And I ask you to continue to watch between all those that are listening and myself. As we depart from each other, Lord, keep them covered under the blood of Jesus, that no weapon formed against them will prosper. Lord, I pray that all those tongues that try to speak against them will cease. Father God, I ask you to bless their families and loved ones, their extended families. Bless them all, Lord God. Give them strength, give them perseverance, give them everything they need to walk upright today. And Father God, as I lift them up, I ask you to watch over my family as they travel the highways and the byways. In Jesus' name, I pray over all that listen live and all that listen later, that they will be blessed by you. In the name of the Savior, Christ Jesus, I pray, believing and trusting. so much again for listening in this morning. And I pray that you have a wonderful Wednesday. Take care. Be blessed. And enjoy your day. It is a wrap.